I'll make this quick. Mr. Reichert, John Reichert, who we had previously approved to lease a site at the airport, has requested that his lease be terminated, and I'd like to request that of council. And
John Reichert?
John Reichert. He's looking at a smaller facility rather than a large hangar. He'd like to go with a smaller hangar, and I think we can accommodate him. We're working with the engineering department currently.
Do you need a, you have a motion for that, or?
Yeah, I have.
Can I take them one at a time here?
One at a time, yes. Like, we need to terminate this one.
Okay.
You got somebody waiting for that?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
A motion, Mr. Dukes, second by Mr. Phillips, to terminate the proposed lease with John Reichert, Lot 2, on the new taxiway at Sussex County Airport, to terminate the lease. Questions, Mr. Cole?
I have no questions, but I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Mr. Mast?
Okay. we do have people waiting for the sites, and the next person who has requested this space is Mr. David A. and Jonathan Jones. They've requested to put up a 10,000-square-foot airplane hangar immediately at the hangar and at this proposed site, which is lease number 2. Or site number 2. The same lease terms that apply to Mr. Reichert would apply to the new tenant. In summary, it's a 30-year lease with CPI yearly increase after the fifth year, $750 monthly land lease, and the proposed improvements reviewed by the engineering department, and the construction to begin within 180 days.
Okay, gentlemen.
Do we get deposits out of these applicants?
Not deposits. We go right into a lease and then...
Because, I mean, it looks like, I mean, do we get held up like the Reichert gentleman? I mean, if we had deposits, they'd be more serious. We'd know when they're...
Mr. Cole, your recommendation when we went into the original leases, you recommended we give them 2 years at no cost to them, if you remember when we went...
Yeah, but I didn't say anything about deposit. I mean, I just asked a simple question. Do you get a deposit, which is typical?
At the beginning, when we went with the first, if you remember... We came up with 5 site corporate leases.
Right.
At your recommendation, they were to have no out-of-pocket cost the first 2 years. That was your recommendation.
Okay. There's no deposit. My question, I didn't ask
you
about... Do we have any deposits?
You said no, we have none. At your recommendation, there was no out-of-pocket cost for them first 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. A guy like this. No, it's just, I might be reflecting back on what we did.
Right.
Now that we see somebody who's been in there for 2 years, maybe we should have a deposit. There's nothing wrong with making it better, gentlemen, because of something I said 2 years ago. So don't get hung up on that. But the question is, do we have any deposits? And maybe we should.
Okay, if you would like us to change. I
agree. Let me know.
I thought 2 years was too long to begin with. That was not staff's recommendation to begin with.
Well, did the council support 2 years?
Yes.
Okay, well then, it was 5 people that had, you know, that supported the 2 years.
Right.
Okay, what I'm saying is, maybe we ought to look at a deposit.
Okay, let's
make them serious about signing the lease.
At this point, because anybody else is in there has had a couple years. They've been playing with these for a couple years, and that has been part of the problem. This has been a long, drawn-out process.
Okay,
how many years have you been talking about this?
The lease itself?
But just everything, about this whole project.
Well, by the time the taxiway is done, it's been done within the last year. So it's just now time where the folks are now getting their building plans into the engineering department for review, with FAA review, the county
review.
Right,
but you proposed this project how many years ago?
About 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a couple
years.
So now we ought to be looking at something different now.
Let's get through this motion here.
Yes.
Right, okay, fine. I'm just trying
to... We had a motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips. The Sussex County Council approved David A. and Jonathan D. Jones to a property lease at Sussex County Airport to construct a hangar approximately 10,000 square feet with that not exceeding 10,000 square feet. Prior to executing above lease, any lease changes will be reviewed and approved by the county administrator and county finance director, then presented to the president of Sussex County Council for his signature approval. Any questions, Mr. Cole?
I vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Diggs?
Yes.
My vote is yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll be back probably next week with some additional leases. So, thank you.
Right. Mr. Lang, request for time extension, Vaughn and Alfred Nelson, condition use number 1488.
Morning again, gentlemen.
Morning.
We had a request received on February 22nd from Fuquay and Urey Professional Association on behalf of Vaughn Melson, an application of conditional use number 1488 for Vaughn Melson and Alfred Melson. It was an application permitting a 143 residential unit development on Cedar Neck Road, approved by council on June 3rd of 2003. Mr. Alfred Melson and his son Vaughn had begun engineering work to obtain site plan approval when Mr. Melson Sr. or Alfred suddenly passed in October of 2003. A dispute developed between Vaughn Melson and Alfred's widow over the ownership of another project, and that dispute had resulted in litigation, making it impossible to proceed with this development until the ownership issue is resolved by the courts. They obtained 2 1-year time extensions for the conditional use, which will expire on June 3rd of 2006. The ordinance only allows for the commission to authorize 2 time extensions. And due to the unforeseen, unfortunate circumstance involved in this matter, the applicant is requesting that the council authorize an additional 1-year extension through June 3rd of 2007. I reviewed the application and a previous application, which had similar problems. Addressed a memo on March 30th to Mr. Stickles. I advised him that I'd reviewed the circumstance. When we discussed this conditional use, council had granted a time extension for another conditional use. On October 7th of 2003, council granted a 1-year time extension for conditional use number 1360 for Raymond Machete. That site was also on Cedar Neck Road. Mr. Griffin at the time advised council that the council does have the inherent authority to act when the commission cannot act. And the council did allow for a time extension. And the request before you today is whether or not council will grant a time extension for this project.
Lawrence.
Sir.
The reasons for the other, the one you referenced there on Cedar Neck, what was the, I know you said we have the inherent right, but sometimes, you know, you do things because of certain reasons. What were the reasons, do you recall?
The reason, the first one had a condition of approval that references sewer.
Okay, so in the sewer, and it was a county sewer, and we required that right, and the county sewer was not there.
Right, it was presented to council on September 30th of 2003.
Okay.
A letter from Kenneth Simpler on behalf of Mr. Machete.
Right.
And one of the conditions was that the development shall be served as part of the Cedar Neck Sanitary
Sewer. Right, so we imposed that on them, and then they couldn't meet that.
Right.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's.
And that discussion continued, and then on October 7th of 2003, council did grant 1-year time extension.
And on this one, has there been any county or state, any kind of regulations that have held these people up? Any governmental?
Not to my knowledge.
No governmental, okay, restriction.
Well, I think it was okay. Because of his death, wasn't it, Mr. Lang?
It was. The stated reason by the attorneys on behalf of the applicant was they were in the process of coming in and submitting, and they did, Mr. Alfred Melson did pass. And that was, litigation took place between family, and it basically was put on hold until the courts made a decision. And Mr. Fuqua, I believe, represents the family.
Right. I just wanted to clarify, Dale, if it was a government intrusion or if it's personal. So there's where we need to figure this all out.
Mr. Cole, I think the point you're raising, I mean, we didn't claim there's any type of governmental delay on it. I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward.
We're
explaining what happened. I mean, it's unfortunate that there's a dispute between the estate, which is Mr. Alfred Melson's widow, Deborah, who's here. She's here with her attorney from Maryland, Mark Cropper. As I explained in the letter, that's what happened. It's unfortunate, but there's a dispute as to the ownership of the entity that owns the property. This was approved by the council. There has been 2 extensions granted by the Planning and Zoning Commission. They can't grant anything further. And It is still alive. It's good through June 6th, but until this litigation as to ownership is resolved, it's not possible to go forward, and we're asking your consideration in extending it further. We don't see any purpose to be gained by it expiring and being required to reapply for the same thing.
When was it originally approved?
It was originally approved in June of 2003, I believe. June 3rd, 2003.
You think you're going to have a decision by June of 2007?
Could I ask Mr. Cropper to come up? I'm not involved in the litigation. Maybe Mark, if you could just identify yourself.
I'm Mark Cropper. I'm the attorney for the estate of Alfred V. Melson, Sr., and I've been assisting Mrs. Melson, the widow, with the administration of the estate, one of the assets obviously being this property. Right now, unfortunately, this estate has been extremely controversial, volatile. At one time, we had four cases pending, both in the federal and state courts in two different states. Fortunately, we've narrowed that down to two cases pending, one in the Sussex County Chancery Court and one in the Circuit Court for Worcester County, both of which pertain to this property. The one in the Chancery Court here involves a Liz Pendens, which has tied up the property and prevented the estate from marketing, selling, or otherwise doing anything on the property. The Circuit Court litigation in Worcester County is resulting from claims filed by Vaughn Melson with the estate, which he was required to file within a certain time frame. I would hope that that litigation will be resolved within 12 months of June. The case in the Chancery Court here does not yet have a trial date. David Hackett, I'm sure it's an attorney some of you are familiar with, he's representing the estate in that litigation, but there is no trial date yet. There has been a motion for summary judgment filed. We're hoping to be successful in that motion in the next several months. Once the property is relieved of the burden of both of these cases, then obviously a developer hopefully will enter into a contract. We've had lots of interest. We've had lots of developers. At one time, we had a contract on the property, but because of these two matters of litigation, it couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't designate a closing date because these title issues and Liz Pendens issues were still barring the estate from moving forward with any type of settlement. I was the attorney for Mr. Melson. I was his general counsel prior to his passing. In fact, there was a one-week time period between his heart attack and when he actually passed, when the Circuit Court in Worcester County appointed Mrs. Melson as the guardian of his person, and both Mrs. Melson and I were appointed co-guardians of his property. Because of the voluminous nature of his real estate and business holdings, there was lots of activity. We had to keep things moving. The estate has done extremely well in the past two or three years, liquidating properties, paying gross tax burdens. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. Unfortunately, this property, the Seasons property, is the largest, most valuable asset of this estate. And retaining the zoning approvals is imperative to retaining the value of the property. It is the priority of this estate at this time. So any consideration you could give to retain those zoning approvals, thus allowing the property to retain its value such that when this litigation is resolved, we can hopefully market it, sell it, and close this estate, would be enormously appreciated.
Yeah, I guess do you know of any precedent in Maryland, maybe where you come from, where a county government has awarded these types of extensions to for personal disputes? I mean, it might set a bad precedent that this personal dispute versus the next personal dispute, where families are fighting, that we've got to do things. And I don't know if it's we should be in the business of retaining value for the private sector, so that you can gain more money for the estate, and I can see and possibly you guys get bigger fees or whatever. I don't know what the motives there could be, and I don't know if it sets a bad precedent for county government. Following up on just what you said, and I think what you just said is probably the best reason for us not to do it, so that we don't help you through a zoning approval gain more value.
My response to that would be this. Had Mr. Melson not passed, Mr. Melson would have been able to move forward through the zoning process, revising the site plan as was approved, issuing construction plans, getting building permits issued, and vesting the rights of this project, but for his passing. And the first case that was filed by River Enterprises was directly related to their contract at one time they had on the property, and Mr. Melson's passing was directly related to why that litigation ended up getting filed. So it's his passing and his inability as a result of that passing to vest his rights under the zoning approvals, which has brought us here today. Now, the practical result of that is the practical result I just explained on the estate, but it's his death and his inability to vest his rights which has caused us to be here.
We as a land use governing body made a decision that it was an appropriate use of the land. An act of God has caused, in what appears to be, in my opinion, a delay in the process. Is there something else in this mix that missing? Okay.
No, and again, Jen, we know you have a busy schedule and we don't take any of your time. That's basically the request. The bottom line is it was approved by the council. We think the land use, you know, it meets the sewer requirements and everything else, and it was approved by the council. We got an unfortunate situation of, number one, a totally unexpected death of Mr. Melson, and then, again, the unfortunate dispute between the family, and that's where it is. We'd ask your consideration on an extension, ideally until the litigation's resolved, but if not that, for at least an additional year to give the estate the ability to try to get moving forward, so
and, we'll need and Jim, extension. If they don't resolve it, you'll be back again for another one till you guys can work this all out.
It'd be subject to what the council tells us today, Mr. Cole.
I mean, this is again my concern about setting a precedent. If the conditional use expires, Lawrence, what happens to the land? What is the worst case scenario with this piece of property?
They would have to reapply.
And what is the current underlying zoning that?
On that side of the property, it's MR, medium density residential.
Okay.
On the east side of...
I know where it is.
It's in the environmentally sensitive developing area.
Right.
Forward to the complaint.
When's it expire?
June 6th.
Yeah, June 6th. A year from June.
So, I mean, the value, there's no taking here other than you've got this approval, which is about to expire.
Mr. Cole, we're not claiming there's any taking. The facts are the man died, okay. There's a dispute, we're asking for an extension. Really, that's... It's really that's it.
No, but the only other time, Jim, is there any problem with their personal problems that we start extending these conditional uses? Doesn't it set a bad precedent? Because I know the one before in the same neighborhood, it was because of a government action that held them up. Now we're talking about just because somebody passes away, what's it going to be next time? And what the next time? And this,
stay out of it.
This worries me. So,
I would prefer not to give you an opinion on that. As you heard from Mr. Cropper, my partner is representing the estate and the Chancery Court, so and it's to the estate's advantage to retain this zoning, so I've got a conflict on this one.
Mr. President, look at this purely.
Generally, you have discretion, and your discretion...
Well, maybe we should ask for some other legal advice.
Well,
because
that's up to you.
I think it's a tricky question. I even question whether we can do this under a zoning ordinance. Are we allowed to do this under a zoning ordinance?
We're allowed to grant extensions for conditional uses.
Mr. Cole, I'd offer my free legal advice.
No, that's all right.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion.
We get too much of that.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion. We grant the extension till June the 6th, 2007.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Digg, second by Mr. Phillips to grant an extension for Vaughn and Alfred Melson, conditional use number 1488, that will expire June 2006 to 2006. We'll extend it until June 6, 2007. Hoping the litigation will be here with me move forward.
John,
questions? Thank you very much.
Questions on the motion?
Bank us yet.
Mr. Cole.
Well, it just concerns me. Everything's too cozy here. All these lawyers are all in it to benefit, and we can't get any legal advice out of this, and this is just outrageous that the county council doesn't say, let's defer on this and try to get some other legal advice, because I get real concerned that we are setting a bad precedent. I don't even think we should. I don't think we can do this. I mean, it's just it's bad, bad policy. It's unfortunate that everybody passed away and everything else, but there's great value still in that land, and if it has to go through it, so be it. And my vote is no. This is beyond
Mr. Phillips.
It's crazy.
it was appropriate land use decision when it was made, and it continues to be an appropriate land use. It is unfortunate that the circumstances arose that the applicant was unable to meet all the deadlines, but under the circumstances, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes, Mr. President. I also agree that it is a land use decision. It, you know, and we made that decision way back when that this proper zoning is, it's unfortunate that they ran into some personal problems, and I vote yes.
Mr. Dukes?
I agree with the other council. It's a land use decision. We're not settling the state here today. It's just giving them time to deal with their issues that happened beyond their control. My vote yes.
We sit up here month after month, year after year, and we hear extensions for people that didn't have finances or they didn't get around to it or state agency got involved. And this is purely a land use which was approved prior to this occurring. I don't think you're going to set a precedence by people dying and subdivisions coming for you for extensions. It's a very unique case, a very sensitive case, but in our case, it's only a land use decision to grant a time extension and nothing else. We're not settling a state. It's purely land use. My vote would be yes. Motion pass.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Lank. Change of zone number 1572, Riverview, LLC.
Yes, gentlemen, this is an item for old business. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on application for change of zone 1572, the application of Riverview, LLC.